Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we are talking money, going to get started once again, helping you fix your finances in 2021. We always talk about the things that matter when it comes to your money, which is the fundamentals of finance. And as we go through today, I want to get started with kind of a review. If you've been tuning in and listening to the podcast, the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour, you can kind of go along the path of, you know, there's two things that I've always believed that you need to be working on. The first one is your income plan, and that's your entire life income plan. It starts out as a earning plan where you got to go out and earn money. And then one day you retire and you have what we call do nothing money. It's the money that, you know, you don't have to do anything for because you saved your money, you did that. And so the income plan is a big element in developing a successful financial future. And then the second is that you have a financial plan. And so, you know, I kind of look at it. I say, well, what's most important? Well, I see people all the time that make a lot of money. They have nothing. And then I have a lot of people that don't make any money and they don't have any money. And then I have some that because they understand how to, you know, do better with the income they have a little bit of money saved. But the real answer is that you got to have a plan for your income to always be increasing. I mean, it has to increase anyway because of inflation. And then you have to have a plan to where once you are earning money, you need to learn how to live on less than you're earning. And by doing that, you create a gap. And that gap is your quality of life gap. That means you're doing, you know, you've got a profit on your working life. If you're married, your family business is making a profit. And so here's some things you might think about as we start out this morning on your income plan. Is your industry stable? The next question is, what do you know how to do today that you didn't know how to do in high school? You know, I see people that, you know, they went to high school, they were like the big person on campus, you know, and then they haven't learned one single thing since they went to high school. It's the last time they learned, or they went to college, they haven't learned one thing since that time, and they forgot the stuff that they learned back then, you know, and today they're wondering why they're 40 years old and they're can't find a job or they can't do anything. So what do you know today that you didn't know in high school? What do you know today that you didn't know in college? What do you know today that you didn't know 5 years ago as it relates to you earning money and moving forward? What do you know today that you didn't know yesterday? What is your value proposition? What are you doing to improve your value proposition for your company, or if you're in a business for your customers? What are you doing? Are you changing? Are you improving your service levels? Are you doing things that will allow you to demand your income go up? The next question is, how do you earn your money? Are you tech savvy? Could you start a business right now? If your job went away, do you feel like you could start a business, a new business, and be successful? And then the last thing on your income plan that I would be thinking about is this. Do you have a self-improvement plan? Do you read? Do you listen? Do you talk to people that can help you? Are you taking extra classes? Are you doing different things? Hey, the fact that you're tuning in right now tells me that you've got some kind of self-improvement plan. So I would encourage you to, you know, continue doing that. Go to my podcast. Do things that will allow you to get smarter, more qualified, be able to pivot better. So if we have something come up, you know, that's another pandemic of sort that, you know, or this one lasts longer, you are very savvy. You can move along and you're very confident and you go from worried to confident. So that's the first thing. Then what we do is we go with a financial plan. All right. Now, what's the financial plan built around? Well, the first one is you got to get educated. All right. And what education is in finance is the difference in, I'm going to give you some examples. I've seen people that have their retirement plans sitting in fixed accounts. All right. And guys, right now, fixed accounts may give you, if they're in bonds, it may give you a negative rate of return. All right. How about that? That's not good. It may, if it's in fixed accounts like a money market, it's getting 0.1%. And I see people have their retirement plans sitting in fixed accounts. Why is it? Because they just don't know, right? So you got to get the right education. You got to know how to buy the right products. You know, I run into people and, you know, I've been doing this for 35 years and I still see people buying cash value, whole life insurance. And I'm like, why? Oh, gosh. I mean, I thought when, Consumer Reports said, don't do that. They said, don't do that 30 years ago, but people are still doing it. And the reason is they just don't know, or they, don't understand, how to purchase, health insurance or car insurance or do any of those kind of things. Or they're putting their money in the, too risky of an investment for where they're at, or not enough risk. Or they're not taking advantage of their retirement plans. So they don't have the education in place. And then that causes you to not have the right products in place. And then the last thing is you don't have the right advisor in place. So what I do, I believe this, that you should be very deep in your knowledge in the subject levels that you're career is or whatever you're doing. To give you an example, you've heard of jack of all trades, master of none. That's called wide in knowledge base, but not very deep. And what happens is when you're very wide and not deep, you don't end up making money. You don't end up getting knowledgeable enough. You don't become an expert. All right. You don't end up doing that. And so then you end up having minimal success in everything. So what you want to do is you want to get very educated in the things that make sense that you need to be educated in. I think you need to get educated on what you do. You need to get totally so good at what you do that you're an expert. And if you're an expert in your field, you should be able to do well. You should take care of your money problems right there because you're making money. Then you want to learn and put together a team of people that will allow you, okay, to get the right information. I have a great doctor. I have a great CPA. I have a great lawyer. Okay. I do my own finance. All right. So you do those kind of things and you start putting together a plan to where you're on track. And so with that being said, what I want to do now, we're going to go into our segment. In the segment, we're going to start building the financial house. And we're going to be talking about budgets and emergency funds and debt, getting out of debt, all these kind of things that will help you move forward. If you would like to do some downloads that will kind of go along with the show, visit RoyMatlockJr.com. And you can download the budget forms we're going to be covering along with sign up and for our podcast. And we're going to be right back and got you some great, great, great information this morning. All right, Roy Matlock Jr., and we are back. If you're just tuning in, we talked about, two of the keys to financial success. First one is your income plan, how you earn your money. Are you working on yourself? Are you getting better? Are you becoming more valuable? And the second thing is your financial plan, which is made up of the right education, the right products, the right advisor, that kind of thing. And I want to just encourage you to go to RoyMatlockJr.com. If you want to get educated, we had a family financial workshop just recently, and the replay is on my website, RoyMatlockJr.com. It's a 3-hour. I mean, we had a dozen guys like me on there. I emceed it, and some of my best friends from all over the country, we put this on, and it was a family financial workshop. So if you have teenagers, you could do that. And also, you can get educated by going to, same to the Roy Matlock Jr. site, and put your info in, and you'll be able to get the 12-part course that I put on. That is everything A to Z in detail, and also the podcast. And so just kind of, go to the website and we'll help you. We got a lot of resources that will help you get moving. So the four steps for really having a plan to become confident and leave the worry zone: right income plan, right education, right products, and the right advisor. And so we're going to move in now to the kind of the foundational point of building your money. And the problem is most people don't plan to fail. They fail to plan. We've heard that. But, you know, you can't even say it hardly. He says, most people don't plan to fail. They fail to plan. I believe this. The most important thing when it comes to being successful in anything is to have a written plan, or what is called a GPS. Your GPS, your goal, where you want to go, your plan, how you're going to get there, and when it's going to happen. And it starts with your financial independence number. Your financial independence number is the amount of money you need to accumulate so someday you can live off that money for the rest of your life and never have to go back to work. It allows you to say, hey, I won the money game. And so when you do that, once you get that number, then you get the education and the products to go along with that number, and you put an interest rate in. So the goal is I want to retire one day in 30 years and $100,000 a year. We put inflation in. We take our inflation calculator. 3% inflation for 30 years is $243,000 I need. If we get a 9% return, which is conservative, if you do it right, you need $2,624,000. If you began today, $1,421 a month will get you there. You say, okay, I need to be educated. I need to be able to get this money going in there, pay myself first. One of the key elements to becoming successful is to pay yourself first. I'll never forget what changed my life was, you know, I got my securities license back in 1985, and I was like, man, I can't wait to get me a mutual fund. And I opened up a $100 a month money market fund in order to set up my emergency fund, and I opened up a $50 a month mutual fund. At that time, you know, that was $150 a month, was a lot of money to me, but I got started. And then what I found out was I didn't have any money. I didn't have any cash flow. And the reason I didn't have any cash flow is I had two car payments that were $300 a month. And I was like, gosh, I got to get rid of that. And I sold those cars, bought two old cars, paid them off in a year. And the day I paid them off, I took that $600 a month and put it in a mutual fund. And that changed my life. For some of you right now, you need to get started. That's the key. It's called pay yourself first. Number two, automate it, and you start yourself on track. So, for instance, let's say you had $1,421 a month you need to save, and you're like, I don't have that. Well, we're going to talk about areas you can free up money to save as we go throughout the show. Then we start building our financial house. The foundation is your budget. We're going to go into that. Your emergency fund, 3 to 6 months of your expenses. We're going to protect your income with term life insurance. Typically, 10 to 12 times your income is a good rule of thumb, but you can calculate it. We're going to protect against your liabilities, having the proper liability coverage, proper car insurance, health insurance, and all those kind of things. We're going to go and pay off the bad debt. What is bad debt? Anything that you can't afford is bad debt. So if you're leveraged too much, you got to get rid of it. But really, what I consider bad debt is debt that's tied to things that go down in value. So you don't want to be financing your meals and your cars and your credit card, all the credit card stuff that goes out in Christmas and things like that. Anything that depreciates in value, you don't want to be financing it. I'm totally of the mindset that right now you should absolutely not try to pay your home off. I would invest my money elsewhere. I consider good debt you can afford, and also stuff that's tied to things that go up in value. This is your opportunity, you know, with low interest rates to start a business and to, you know, do a little leverage. Okay. Not too much leverage, but put some leverage into your life. I mean, don't think that big companies don't do that. All big companies have bonds. That's what they do. They borrow money in order to invest in their business. This might be an opportunity for you to do something like that. So just think about what is good debt. Good debt is debt that is tied to something that appreciates. You can afford it. Bad debt is something that you can't afford, and it's tied to something that depreciates. We then go into understanding investments. This is the key element, because now we've built a foundation. We've got our emergency fund, we've got a budget, we've got a gap between our income, we've protected our liabilities, we protect our income, we've paid off the bad debt, we now have cash flow, we bought a house, we've got a low interest loan on a house, we now have this money that we can free up to invest. All right, we take that, we start maxing out. We understand where to invest it. Then we start putting it into retirement plans, college plans for our kids, other goals and dreams, opportunity money, and we put it together and we're on our way. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to get into some details of building the financial house. Again, if you want to go to roymatlockjr.com, we're going to start off by working on the budget. And you can download the budget forms, and then that way that's kind of the starting point. So what we're going to do now is kind of get into the defense. And the defense is the cash flow plan or the budget. You know, one of the most important things, I believe, is that you learn how to spend less than you make and you have a proper budget. You think about our country right now. You know, we're printing money. We're giving money away to people because of the pandemic. And I get it. There's always going to be a certain percentage of people that are always going to be at the bottom of the economic, ladder. But my question is this. If you had a cash flow plan and you had a budget set up that was working, and you had 6 months of an emergency fund, do you think you probably could have gotten through the pandemic without a handout from the government? Hey, think about that. So what, you know, when this last year, the thing I always tell people is you tend to hang out with people that are about like you. And the majority of everybody that I hung out with, because they, you know, I don't hang out with people that blow everything they make and all that kind of stuff, because it just doesn't go along with what I do. And it's interesting how the people that I hung out with this last year, they weren't whining and complaining about how they didn't have any money. And my clients that have been with me, you know, what they did, they had emergency funds. So what happens is you've got to get yourself in a position to where you're doing it the right way. So let me give you some numbers. 1 in 4 people have almost nothing saved. 80% of the people making less than $50,000 a year say it's hard to keep up with their bills and save for retirement. Okay? And half of them said it's very hard. So what does that say? Raise your income, right? That's the first thing. Nearly half of Americans have trouble finding $400 to pay for an emergency. And millions of Americans have no savings set aside for a rainy day, leaving them in serious jeopardy if a calamity comes along. So what we're going to do next is we're going to go into the foundation of setting up your budget, getting your emergency fund in place. I think you're going to love it. I'm going to make it real simple for you, and we're going to make this thing happen. So, hey, if you've learned anything from the pandemic, it's important not only what you earn, but how you earn it. And would you like to become a financial advisor with me? Let me train you and do something as an additional income stream. Here's what I would do. Go to roymatlockjr.com, check the box, join the team, and we'll follow up with you. Maybe it'll be something good for you. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. Roy Matlock Jr. here, and once again, we are talking money as we do every single week. And today's show, I think, is, you know, for a lot of people, I don't care how much money you make, if you're not on a budget, trust me, you can go broke. I mean, you can look back at, you know, professional athletes and Hollywood movie stars and all these kind of people that have made millions and millions and millions of dollars and they didn't pay their income taxes, or they are going bankrupt, or you hear lottery winners where, you know, the next thing you know, they have no money. And the reason is that I don't care who you are. There are marketing companies, businesses, they're out there. They wake up every day and their one goal is to remove money from you and bring it to them. They want to sell you a car. They want to sell you a house you can't afford. They want to sell you jewelry and anything you can imagine. Go to Amazon. Amazon's whole business model is we are going to sell you something 24/7. No matter where you're at on this earth, we're going to sell you something, and we're going to take your money that you work for, and we're going to put it in our coffers. Now, they're going to provide something of value. I don't say, hey, that having jewelry or buying a car or anything like that is wrong. But the question is, are you doing it wisely? Are you doing it in a predetermined manner, or are you just having things take it out, you know, sign up and do it, impulse, all those kind of things? So what we want to do today is get on a plan that causes you to be proactive with your money. So the first question is, where will I get money to get started, right? That's the first question. I don't have any money. I'm broke. Where will I get money to get started? The problem is most people have too much month left at the end of the money. How about that? So in other words, we would be fine if we only had 25 days in the month, but we have 30 and we're out of money. We got 5 days. Uh-oh, we got to figure that out. So what are some areas that I did to free up money to save? Now, you got to understand, guys, back in the days, one of the things that happened to me was as a kid, well, I say young, right, newly married, I was behind on my house payment. I was behind on my car payment. I was in trouble. I overextended myself, expecting my income to go up, and I was in trouble. All right, big trouble. And I started looking. I was like, what do I do about it? And, you know, I remember one day I got a knock on my door, and I was behind on my house payment, and the lady came to my house, and she knocked on the door, and she told me her name, and she says, I'm with Security Financial Mortgage Company, and I remember that name. And she says, could I come in? And I'm like, what do you need? And she says, well, we are doing a evaluation on our collateral. And I'm like, really? Okay. So what they were doing was checking out what their collateral was like in the event that they thought they were going to take it from me. So the lady comes in, knocks on my door, looks around, and I'm like, this is not good. All right. Then after that, I was behind on my car payments. And I remember one night I heard something outside, and I thought, they're coming to get my cars. And I go looking out, and they didn't do it. And I was like, you know, if I ever get out of this mess, I will never go back again. Some of you are sitting out there right now saying, wow, if I ever get out of this mess, I'm never going back again. So I'm going to give you seven areas, seven things I did that allowed me to get out of that mess. All right. Well, the first thing is this, is I came to the conclusion that I had to stop borrowing money. That was the first thing. And the good news was my credit was so bad that I didn't have that choice anyway. It got to the point where I, you know, had no choice. And then what I decided I had to do is I had to pay myself first. So I had to set aside some money just so I wouldn't be completely broke and negative. You know, I mean, I'm sitting there, I'm 25 years old, I'm broke, and I'm like, you know, getting ready to lose everything. We bought a house we couldn't afford, we bought two cars we couldn't afford. That's what you do when you're young and you're dumb and you do stuff like that. And so I did that. I said, I'm going to pay myself first is the first thing. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to start adding up and looking at what I have and what I owe, not my, you know, what my values are, but what I want to know is what I owe. All right. I want to know how much I owe. All right. Not my mortgage at that time. It mattered, but the mortgage was the second thing that was kind of set there. And I looked and I said, you know, I got $40,000 in cars and credit cards. And I want you to think about that. I'm 25 years old. Now, just to kind of age me, that would have been in 1985. How about that? 1985. I've got $40,000 in cars and credit cards. I don't even know how you can do that today. I mean, how can you get that deeply in debt? Okay. But I did. All right. And so I started looking. I said, I've got $40,000 in debt. I got to eliminate $40,000. I got to figure out how to get rid of $40,000. So what did I do? The first thing it is, I started selling stuff. Anything I didn't need, we sold it. anything I couldn't live without, we sold it. So we started raising money that way. I finally got the two cars to where I did not owe more than they were worth. And I took those cars, I sold both of them, and by doing that, eliminated almost $20,000 of debt. So I was working. Then what I did is I bought two cheap cars. And I mean cheap. I mean VW diesel Rabbits. I bought two of them. And the reason is I got 60 miles a gallon. And I started adjusting my lifestyle. So step number one, if you want to free money to save, is you pay yourself first. Step number two is you adjust your lifestyle. You never eat out. You never buy retail. You never do any of these kind of things, all right? And so what happens is you start adjusting. So when I went out and when we were buying clothes, we went to Goodwill. I'm out buying suits from Ladies of Charity. I'm doing all these kind of things. I bought back then a VCR, and the VCR, what's funny about the VCR is my neighbor had a shop. And for those of you that don't know what a VCR is, it's like a tape player where you could watch movies. And we bought that VCR used, bought it for $50. They were running like $600. I said, you have one of those nobody paid, brought in and nobody paid for it. And he's like, yeah. I said, how much? He said, I'll get you one for $50. Bring it in. And so he did that. Okay. And then I started established and I built a cash flow plan. So pay myself first, had to get some money, adjust my lifestyle, established a cash flow plan. That's a budget. I adjusted my priorities. I decided that it was more important to be stress-free than to have stuff. And I started adjusting my priorities, what was important to me. So I did that. Then I started working two jobs. All right. I had two jobs. I've always had two jobs. I've always had two businesses. Today I got three businesses. And so what I did is I did that, and that allowed me to earn extra money to pay this down. And eventually, in about 2 years, I went from $40,000 in debt and getting ready to be foreclosed because of extra money and cutting things and doing stuff. I got out of debt, all right? And then a year later, I had two cars that were old and paid for. But I had the ability then to start doing stuff. Then I started realigning my assets. I started looking at, okay, what's going up in value? I'm going to keep it. What's not going up in value? I'm going to eliminate it. All right? I did that. I started selling stuff. And then after that, I said, never again am I going to get myself in this position again. I'm going to avoid the credit trap. It's a trap. All right, credit card bills and car payments and all that kind of stuff. And I said, never again. I'm never going to do it. So what are the seven areas? Pay yourself first. Adjust your lifestyle. Establish a cash flow plan. Adjust your priorities. Earn extra income. Realign your assets by selling things. And avoid the credit trap. And when we come back, we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of how this works. And so, guys, I hope this is helping. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com if you want to download our budget forms or sign up for the podcast. Also, if you would like a consultation, 15-minute phone call, you can call 615-843-2999. We'll be happy to help. We'll be right back. All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we are back, and we're going to be talking today about getting the budget in place. So I'm going to give you kind of some guidelines on how to do that. Typically, if we were to break down 100% of our income, you're going to be in these ranges, you know, 25-30% to debt. That would include housing. If you are doing what I say, you would get to a point where you just buy used cars and you don't have car payments. I mean, that's what I've been buying used cars. I got plenty of money to buy a new car, and I don't buy new cars. And I mean, I see no reason to, you know, walk out of that showroom and lose 20 or 25%. And generally speaking, not only do you lose 20 or 25%, but you're financing it on top of that. So just don't buy new cars. I mean, that's just not a smart move. I've been buying used cars, you know, since 1985. All right, I mean, think about that. So housing and debt's going to be right in that, you know, 20, 25%, something like that. And if you can get it lower than that, that's good. You know, there's nothing wrong with buying a house that you really could say, you know, I'm going to buy this house, but I could really, you know, the mortgage company said I can qualify for $500,000, but I'm only going to do a $300,000 house. And what that does is that gives you the – now, one of the keys to that is – don't go looking at the $500,000 ones when you want to buy a $300,000, because you're always going to be like, yeah, man, I want that. So what you have to do is you have to find something that, that makes sense to where you are free. Okay, you have free cash flow. Then you start saving your money, investing your money. One day you end up having more. Your living expenses may represent 25 or 30% as well. You should have a goal, minimum goal of 15% going to savings and investments, maybe even more than that. I know people that go out and they say, you know, I'm going crazy, and I'm going to save half of our income. And the way we do that is we live on one income for a period of 2 or 3 years, and especially when you're young. And you go save 100 grand. How about that? And you say, well, how do I save 100 grand? Well, here's how you save 100 grand. You and your spouse, if that's the case, you're making 100 or 80 grand between you. And say 80. And you say, you know, before we got married, we were both able to live on 40. And plus, you can live on love alone. You're a newlywed, all that kind of stuff. You can stay home and, you know, play board games and watch TV and eat at home and do all that kind of stuff and save one income. All right. Well, let's see. 40 grand, 3 years, 120 grand of income, pay some taxes. You got 100 grand saved. How about that? There's your $100,000 plan. Have a $50,000 plan, whatever it is. So let's say you do that. And the rule of 72 says that if you take any interest rate divided in the number 72, your money will double. It tells you how long your money doubles. So let's say you're getting 10%, stock market's average that for 100 years. And it means your money's going to double every 7 years. So you went and sacrificed 3 years and worked and saved $100,000. 7 years later, your money earned $100,000. How about that? Because it went from 100 to 200. The next 7 years, your money earned $200,000. You worked for 3 years and sacrificed. You got your 100 grand. And then the money goes 200, 400, 800, 1.6 million, 3.2 million. And you didn't do anything but 3 years of sacrifice. So, hey, maybe you want to get crazy and do that kind of stuff. I see people do that all the time. I did that kind of thing. Insurance is going to be 4%, give or take. You need to be doing that. And your taxes are going to take up about 25%. So what we're going to do, we're going to start out by handling our money right. All right, so we're going to step number one is we're going to never lose money. All right, so what do you mean by never lose money? Well, we're not going to do things that are just going to lose money, you know? So, for instance, I read something about a short on GameStop. I think I'm going to put some money in that. I spent 30 seconds learning about it. Let's just go lose. I'm going to buy some options. All right. I remember buying. I did that. Okay. Just lost my money. I mean, no big deal. So step number one is you're going to not lose your money. Step number two is you're going to stop buying stupid things. All right. Now think about that. You just ask yourself, what am I doing here? Is this stupid? All right. Ask yourself that. Hey, I've done a lot of stupid things. And what I try to do going forward is learn from that. So when you're getting ready to spend some money on something, you say, now, is this stupid? And if it is, don't do it. Number three, only spend money that you have. How about that? In other words, if you don't have it, you don't spend it. You don't walk in there, well, let me pull my credit card out. All right? So these are keys to handling your money. You have a big goal. Save 50% of your income. How about that? Big goal. All right. So now let's go into some budgeting tips. First thing is you pull the budget sheet out. You can get that budget sheet at roymatlockjr.com. And we're going to take an honest appraisal of what you spend. So we're going to go back in time and we're going to look at it. And we're going to say, okay, this is what I did. Now, I recommend you get some type of electronic program. Let me give you an example. I have been using QuickBooks since the mid-90s. Today, QuickBooks, you can go and attach all of your accounts, and I can tell you at any given moment what my profit and loss is on my business, and then I keep inside of there all of my personal expenses in other expenses. So I can go to QuickBooks, I can look and say, This is what I earn. This is my profit. This is my personal, my savings, and I know it up to date because it's tied in. So you might do that. Or you can also use Quicken, I think, to do the same thing that's more of a personal. But the point being is I like doing it electronically because it's simple. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to decide what I'm going to adjust, not sacrifice. You know, a lot of people think about going on a budget is sacrificing. And that's not sacrificing. What it is, it's called an exchange. So what we're going to do, we're going to exchange this money that's going here for this over here. So let me give an example. If you exchange a monthly bill that's not necessary and put it into a savings program that will grow, you will have exchanged a debt for the sake of it for something that will make you feel more secure. That's a good exchange. So I don't like people to sacrifice. I just want them to exchange where the money's going. All right? I want to keep as many expenses as I can variable. And the reason I want to do that is because I can always stop them if my income goes down. I don't want to get locked into a long-term, you know, type thing. If you're a business owner, you go in there and you say, well, if I sign a 10-year lease, then I'll get a better deal. Well, you better be real sure about signing a 10-year lease. So what I want to do is I want to keep things short-term until I get so solid that it doesn't matter. I want to keep as my expenses variable. Then that way I can, if my income's up, I'm okay with it. But if it's down, I can reduce it. All right. I want to become an automatic millionaire. Now, let me tell you how you become an automatic millionaire. You put in, you set up an automatic draft on your account. You fully fund your retirement accounts. They're built in. So what happens is I tell people all the time, people tell me, they say, well, yeah, I'm a real estate agent. And you got to understand my income doesn't come in on a regular basis. All right. I'm like, okay. So are you telling me that have you worked out a plan with the electric company and the water company to not pay monthly only when you have money coming in? Did the mortgage company agree with you and say, sure, you're a real estate agent or you're self-employed or whatever, and you don't make money on a regular basis, weekly, like paycheck? You get chunks in, and sometimes you have a lot, sometimes you don't. When you get to the point where you get a lot, you can pay your payment. And they're like, no. I said, so why do you put yourself in the position where you only get money saved when you have money, supposedly? Somehow or another, you've always paid your house payment. Why wouldn't you always pay yourself? That's called becoming an automatic millionaire. How do you become an automatic millionaire? It's real simple. You sit here and you say, well, I want to be a millionaire. How do I become a millionaire? Well, let's see. How long? I want to be a millionaire in 30 years. What kind of interest rate do I need to get? All right. And I come up with that. And then you put in a compound interest calculator. It says you need to save $300 a month. And you automatically draft it. Okay. So what we're going to do, we're going to gather the information. And then we're going to set up our starting point. Okay. And that starting point of the budget is an emergency fund we're going to open up. We're going to open up our draft account for check, and we'll talk more about this as we come back next week. And then we're going to have our personal weekly spending account. So we're going to have three accounts that we're going to set up. We're going to then start itemizing and optimizing everything about the budget. So if you're just tuning in right now, the next show that will be coming out will be about how to automate your budget, put it in place, get everything to where you feel great about your finances, you're confident rather than worried. So we're going to have three accounts to get started. We're then going to take that and we're going to describe these accounts in a way that we understand them. And then once that's in place, we are going to have a regular, consistent lifestyle that is based upon being able to manage in advance and create a gap. And once you create that gap, you're going to start getting excited about it, And before you know it, your life will become worry-free. So with that being said, what I want to do now is I want to encourage you to do a few things over the next week, and it will help you to keep moving. First off, go to roymatlockjr.com. I'm going to give you a few things you can do. We have a download, and it's our three-hour family financial workshop. We had almost 3,000 people, families attend, and we had rave reviews. And we recorded it. All right, so you can go and do that. It's a Zoom presentation. You can sign up for that. The second thing is this. You can go right there, or you can go to Apple, Spotify, you can go to iHeart, whatever it may be. I've got over 65 shows now that are on my podcast. So you can go into there, register for the podcast, start listening. And then lastly, do you have anybody helping you with your money? If you had a financial advisor like me, do you think you would be doing better? If so, sign up for a free consultation or call 615-843-2999, and I will be talking to you next week.